We have just completed the great celebrations of All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day. So our hearts have been lifted up to the next life, to heaven, and to what comes after our passage through this valley of tears. And we come to today's readings, which speak about losing and finding and being lost and being found in ways that are somehow difficult to grasp exactly because it's so different than how we think. And then we have this response to the psalm, "Let hearts rejoice who search for the Lord." So this brings up the question, well, who's doing the searching here? Who's doing the finding? Who's doing the rejoicing? The psalm says, "Let hearts rejoice who search for the Lord," as if it's our job to find him, and when we do, then we rejoice. There's something to it. Jesus himself says, "Seek and you shall find." So we are supposed to seek the Lord, and we do rejoice when we find him. That is absolutely true. But the first reading in the gospel remind us that much more than us seeking the Lord is seeking us. And much more than we rejoicing when we find him, all of heaven rejoices when we allow ourselves to be found. So here we have the famous parable of the one lost sheep, one out of 100, and the one coin, one out of 10. Jesus is addressing these parables to the scribes and Pharisees who are hardening their hearts against the tax collectors and sinners and against Jesus, because he's the one who's welcoming them. He's rejoicing to find them. And the scribes and the Pharisees are saying, well, that's, you've got this backwards. We're the ones who you're supposed to be serving and welcoming, and you're supposed to rejoice that we're so holy. And instead, you are welcoming sinners and eating with them. So you've got this all wrong. So how can you break through a mentality like that? People who are convinced of their own righteousness and who are convinced that they should not associate with lowly sinners. Well, as soon as you try to talk to them, they'll immediately have a reason to justify their position. That's the trap of self-righteousness. It's self-perpetuating. And anyone who counters it is wrong. So he can be rejected. That's the kind of the armor of the self-righteous. No one can break through it, because as soon as you try to, you prove that you're wrong. And the self-righteous person is always right. Well, so how does Jesus try to break through it? By telling these little parables. And you know, the third parable is, of course, the parable of the prodigal, which is the most powerful and most beautiful revelation of divine mercy possible, practically. Anyway, so these two, we get these simple parables of the sheep and the coin. And they do throw us off a bit. I mean, first of all, no one would leave 99 of his sheep in the wilderness and go running off to find the one. No shepherd would do that. And even if he did do that, would he be that rejoiced? Would he be so overcome with joy that he would gather together his friends and neighbors, who are probably shepherds as well, and they've lost sheep, and no big deal. See, what Jesus is doing here is trying to show us how different God's way of seeing things is from our way of seeing things. God rejoices to find us when we're lost. He searches for us. He diligently searches for us. He rejoices to have us back. He's eager to welcome us, even though we are sinners, even though we're tax collectors and sinners. So it's not an obstacle to him. See, our way of thinking is that sin disqualifies us, or disqualifies other people at least, and so therefore they can't be welcomed. And Jesus is completely reversing that. Now, it's a little bit disturbing to hear there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. More joy? As if it's better to sin and then repent than to not sin at all. There's more joy over whatever, Matthew the tax collector than over the Blessed Virgin Mary? Doesn't make any sense to us. And I think this is the way Jesus tries to shake us out of our fixed way of thinking. I don't think he would say more joy over sinners than over the Blessed Virgin Mary, because that wouldn't make any sense to us. The point is, there's great rejoicing at repentance. There's great rejoicing. And you say, well, what would people in heaven rejoice about? We've just reflected on this 2 days ago, All Saints Day. We usually think, well, they rejoice to be in communion with God, see God face to face, beatific vision. That's what you rejoice about. And angels, if they're going to focus on anything, they focus on the face of God. But here he says, no, the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. Why would the angels care about that? Because God cares about it. You see, angels rejoice in what God rejoices in. And why would God have to rejoice in anything? He's perfect. He's perfectly happy. He's perfectly satisfied. He doesn't need anything. But love moves him to open himself to others. And when he can love and be loved, he rejoices in a way that boggles our minds. That's what Jesus is trying to reveal to us. Now, St. Paul, who was not a tax collector or a sinner, he was a Pharisee, and he was a really good Pharisee. He had the mentality of these scribes and Pharisees in the gospel, that be holy and don't let yourself be defiled by the unholy. Which, that makes perfect sense to us, you know. Don't get yourself soiled by the filth that's all around. You know, be pure and be holy. That was Paul's conviction. He was really good at it, and he even boasts about it here. If you think anyone can be confident about this, he says, calls it confident in the flesh, meaning in the human capacity to fulfill the law, not the flesh, meaning what we usually mean about the flesh. But he's confidence in the flesh, confidence in his ability to be righteous. He says, well, if anyone can be confident, I can be more confident. I'm better than you. That was his mentality. Born in the right tribe and live by the right laws, and I was better than everybody. When he meets Jesus, he realizes what a waste of time that was. It's not that it was bad. It's not that he was committing grave sins, that he was defiling himself. He was just wasting his time thinking that he would make himself holy. And that's why he says, I consider that a loss. It's like a waste. It's of no value by comparison to knowing Jesus Christ. Because to know Jesus Christ is to be known by Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ is to know what Christ knows, or what Christ reveals, and that is that he rejoices to have us, to be in relationship with us. Whether we have followed the law perfectly or not doesn't impress Jesus Christ. And so Paul is the great spokesman of this different way of thinking, that it's faith that opens us to real joy, not righteousness, not self-righteousness, not our accomplishments. We get satisfaction out of accomplishing things, and that's good on a natural level. But it's nothing by comparison to what it is to receive the love of God and to let that love penetrate us and transform us. So the rejoicing of the saints in heaven, we celebrated on Tuesday, is to rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice not that they found the Lord, but that the Lord has found them and has brought them into the fullness of glory. That's the real joy. So when the psalm tells us, let hearts rejoice who search for the Lord, it's looking at it from the perspective of us who are searching. But if we want to really get the understanding of rejoicing, we have to see the rejoicing that takes place in heaven. Now, today's saint, all the saints have insight into this, and that's why they're saints. But today's saint is Martin de Porres, a humble little fellow, and he was humbled by his circumstances. Mixed race, a victim of prejudice, abandonment by his own father, looked down upon by his own Dominican brothers. His ministry was considered lowly and basically a waste of time. He lived in the oppression of human views of him. And on the human level, that had to have been painful, because it is painful to be rejected and thought of as less than. But his faith opened him to recognize what God saw, how God saw him, and how God saw the people he was serving. So he found his joy not in impressing anybody else or getting affirmation from anybody else, but from belonging to God. And because he belonged to God and he knew how God looked at the poor, he said, well, my joy is to serve the people of God. Can't help but compare him to Mother Teresa. We just saw this movie about Mother Teresa. And this woman, she was experiencing darkness and, you know, emptiness. And yet she's an agent of joy for many people. She's smiling all the time and everybody's touched by her presence. And say, what's going on there? Well, that's God at work. The joy comes from God. Rejoice in the Lord. So I think this idea of being lost and found gives us insight into where our real joy comes from. It doesn't come from us doing things or finding things. It comes from the discovery that God rejoices to find us, and he wants to share that joy with us.